Here we are with 19 minutes left. You ready to hear something from God? Well, yesterday, last night at about 6 o'clock, I must have been thinking out of the dumb side of my brain. But my entire message that I worked on for hours yesterday just got, it just deleted. We tried to get them restored. I couldn't get this restored. Nothing worked. So if you want to believe with me for the Holy Spirit, the point is, do you trust God? Do I trust God? And because I, you know, it was just flowing out of me, and I'm putting it down, and you can't remember that stuff. But here's what God's doing. Do you trust me? So I trust him. But let's start with a review. Let's start with the weekly confession. How's that? Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority blessing me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Is this word Bible speaking to you? While you're sitting there, think of some verses that the Holy Spirit is bringing to you right now. Just do it. Part one of our series, which is the law of giving and receiving, we talked about what giving says to the unseen realm. You know, we don't realize what our seeds of, whether you're giving money, giving encouragement, giving help to somebody, giving time to somebody, praying for somebody, whatever it is, form of giving that is, what does that say to the unseen realm? It says God is first in your life. You're emulating the God who gave his only begotten son. And I'm not talking about just flipping something over. Yeah, I'm doing that. No, you're giving out of a pure heart because you love that person, or you love God enough to say, I'll help you. What do you want me to do? So go here and say this to them or give them this, da, 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 da. Has God ever told you to just empty your wallet? I know Dwight shared with me a couple of times that God has just told him to just get rid of what he's got. And he did. And look, God is faithful. See, giving is God-likeness. If you notice, everybody without God, they're holding on to everything they can get with both hands until their knuckles are white. And they have no future, no past. It's nothing to look forward to. Part two, we looked at redeeming the time. We talked about time is an element of creation. God created time when he created light. I mean, with light, you have dimension, you have measurements, you have light, you have time, the dimension of time. And time is a created thing. And he gave Adam dominion over all the works of his hand, including time. So we need to use our time wisely, and we need to believe God for managing that time with us and for us so that we can get things done in shorter time than we need, than we have to do them, like 19 minutes. Part three was giving our future to Jesus. You know, if you give your future to Jesus, did the Apostle Paul give his future to Jesus?
Yes, he did.
How's he doing now? I mean, every time he went into a town, man, he checked out the prison to see where he'd be staying. And, you know, I mean, it was his life. He knew that Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said there's four kinds of people. There's those who are going to back down when they reach affliction and persecution. What Dwight was sharing this morning, too. There are those who are going to back down and get the word choked out of their life when they're all fettered down with thorns and thistles and the cares of this life and lust for other things. and the deceitfulness of riches, thinking that money will solve your problems. I'll tell you what, money will create a lot of problems too. Because you know why? Because money brings out who you really are. Money brings out who you really are. But you know, Jesus, this just occurred to me and it just flopped into my head and I've got to kind of unravel it here. Jesus got himself into some really weird predicaments. I mean, look at the wilderness. The Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. And the wilderness was a tough time. You may be in a tough time. You may be looking at somebody else. That's, how do I minister to them? How do I encourage them? Whatever. But God didn't bring him out in the wilderness so that he could be defeated. He brought him out in the wilderness so that he could overcome and walk in the power of the Spirit. That's how he came out. Luke chapter 4, and Jesus came out with the power of the Spirit after that. Praise God. And then we talked about the seed of Abraham, Jesus. You know, mankind in general, throughout the Bible, is referred to as the seed, a seed, a seed. Your life is a is a seed. And that seed can produce and reproduce all kinds of things. God shows you how in the Word. Stick your nose in that Word. Keep it in front of your eyes. Keep speaking it. Keep living it. Keep praying that Word over your life, into your life. And you know what? That seed of who you are will reproduce in your life. And it will be a blessing to others. And they will see the real Jesus, that he was the seed of Abraham. He is a covenanted man. A covenant, covenant, covenant. You know, that's what covenant is all about. You know, somebody said marriage is 50-50. Well, not if you want a good one. It's each person giving 100%. 100%. That's what covenant is all about. Jesus gave 100% to the Father, everything he had. And the Father now gave everything to him. How is Jesus doing now? I mean, he really took it to the wall, everything. And he said, I delight to do your will, O God. It is written of me, for I delight to do thy will, O God. Delight. He couldn't leave that garden until he was delighting in what was about to happen. You know what? He was delighting because he saw Phil. He saw Danny. He saw Rick. He saw each one of you. He was seeing what you could be. Because he, that incorruptible seed, is starting to reproduce in your life that which he wants. He's always wanted to give you. You know, God, what God did in Jesus is what he wanted to do in everybody. What God did in Christ when he raised him from the dead, what, before that, when he was walking on this earth, what he did for Jesus, he wants to do for every single person. Because you are a joint heir with him, not a sub heir, not an over heir, but you are a joint heir with him. And if Jesus has it, you should have it. That same anointing. You want that anointing to flourish in your life? Then you need to love righteousness, that right standing with God. And you need to absolutely hate iniquity. And if you do, you will be anointed with the oil of gladness. And what is that? That's the joy of the Lord, and that's your strength. That's right. And that's your strength. That's what keeps you going when your body wants to quit. I know what all that is about. Woo! I got meat to eat that you know not of. And I'm happy for it. Praise God. Turn to, with me to Luke chapter 6. And, you know, Jesus is speaking here. And, you know, how much do you value what Jesus says? Ask yourself that question. Is it something I can take some of it and leave some of it? Do we have the right to choose what we will and will not believe, will or will not do, will or will not apply and appropriate in our life? Do we have that choice? No, we don't. And we place a pretty high premium on what Jesus says. He is the truth. He is absolute truth. And our attitude towards the Word of God is really our attitude towards God. Your attitude towards the Word of God and applying it and receiving it and believe it in your life is your the same exact opinion and attitude that you have towards God. You know why? Dwight said it this morning. The Word is God. You cannot separate God from His Word. They are inseparable. If His Word was any less than He is, you can't believe it. It's not absolute truth. It won't set you free. You can follow it, and it'll be just another philosophical book, just another whatever. You know, this week we'll prove it, next week we'll disprove it. It's not just philosophy. But when it's backed by the power in the person of God, who was willing to shed His blood and seal that covenant and said, if this fails, I will destroy myself. That's what He did. If Jesus failed, God would have had to destroy Himself. I don't have time to go into that now, but that is, we'll get into that sometime this year. That's how serious God is about making your life the best it can possibly be. I mean, think about it. We're talking, let's get into the scripture. Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, we'll go with. You guys there yet? Oh, good. I'm not. I'm catching up with you, though. Leave some breadcrumbs for me. I don't know where it was coming from today, but verse 27. Remember, we are talking about the law of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest. He said, I say this to you, which hear, love your enemies. Would He tell you to do something that you couldn't do? Would that be a just God? No. You got to be willing. Okay. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. This is getting rich, isn't it? Bless them that curse you and pray for them who despitefully use you. And unto him that smites you on the cheek, offer also the other. And him that takes away your cloak, give him your coat also. That's King James, but if he takes your jacket, your coat, give him your shirt. Amen. Give to everyone that asks of you, and to him who takes away your goods, ask them not again, and as you would that men should do unto you. Why am I reading this in the form of giving and receiving? This is the Sermon on the Mount. It's Luke's version of it. But let's go back. Because God connects the blessing. God connects the blessing with giving. He connects the blessing with giving. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. We'll come back to Luke. What does he say? Verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember from last week, that's the Lord of armies. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He is talking, he is connecting the blessing with the windows of heaven. And that's our subject today, is the windows of heaven. What are the windows of heaven? Do you know what they are? I don't. I don't. But I know when they're open. Because the blessing is there. And if you go back, the last act of creation was the blessing that it conferred upon Adam. And that blessing was an empowerment for Adam to be everything that he was created to be. It was an amazing empowerment. The blessing of God is an empowerment. Well, Adam sinned. The blessing left. It left him, but Abel, he kind of coasted into some of it. until he was murdered by Cain. Then the blessing was gone for a while. And then Noah was blessed. And the blessing kind of dissipated and came back and dissipated and came back. And Noah, I'll tell you something. When the blessing was gone, there was no man in authority who was blessed of God with that empowerment any longer. And the earth became a pretty miserable place. And we had fallen angels who started to regenerate a non-human race, it was a mixture of demons and people. And then it got so infested, the gene pool of humanity became so infested that the only choice God had was to flood them out and start over, and then right back to Noah, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And then it started, and then blessed Noah. Noah got drunk. Yeah. Noah cursed Ham and Japheth, but Shem walked in the blessing. Shem was a mighty man in his day, and he lived through the flood. He knew what it was like before the flood, didn't want to have anything to do with it. He walked in that blessing and desired it. Noah continued. He repented for getting drunk, but he was a preacher of righteousness too. Even before the flood and after the flood. And he preached and preached and preached for like 350 years after the flood. And a lot of that preaching fell into the ears of Abraham. Abraham started seeking God and he started listening. I mean, how do you think Abraham was able to hear God? He was taught how to hear God by Noah. Noah died when Abraham was 50 years old. So he had to have heard him. They were right in the same area there. And the blessing came, and the blessing came, and the blessing went. The blessing came, and the blessing went. And there was a period of like 400 years before Jesus came that there was nothing. No word from God, nothing. It was called the intertestamental period. And then Jesus showed up. Came time for Jesus. The world is ready for it. You know, when you're hungry for something from God, when it hadn't been there for so long, now you're going to recognize it. Most of them did anyways. But the people who thought they knew something, they didn't see it. But the hungry saw it. And the blessing came, and the blessing came, and the blessing came, and the blessing came. The first thing he talked about was the blessing. The Sermon on the Mount. And he was talking, this is how you activate the blessing. I'm not talking about blessings. I'm talking about the blessing, the empowerment of God that can make you everything that he created you to be. That blessing, this is how you operate in it. This is what releases its power in your life. You get rid of you. You get rid of your value system. You get rid of your tendencies and all of that. Give them to God and say, I want the blessing. I want what you have. I desire your word. Job said this. He said, I delight in your word above, even above my necessary food. He said that. It was in Job 23. He said, I value your word more than my necessary food. What appetites are outweighing the word of God in your life? That's a good question to ask yourself. Look in the mirror. Start, Lord, help me understand this. But look at this. For if you love them, verse 32 in Luke 6. For if you love them that love you, what thank have you? Sinners do that. If you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? Sinners do the same. And if you lend to those who hope you receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much. And then he says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And you shall be called the children of the highest. Jesus used this word to talk about them who are working this blessing. The highest is what Gabriel said to Mary about who was going to be born in her womb. He said, well, that was Jesus. Well, who are you? You have the potential. Jesus has a higher opinion of you than you do. He has a higher higher opinion of your ability to function in the blessing than you do. Did you know how much power? Turn with me. Gosh, what was that? I hope I wrote that down. Isaiah 58. It says, you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Now somebody said, well, following the Lord is real hard. No, the way of the sinner is hard. This is, he's talking about the high places of the earth. If you walk with him, if you delight yourself in him, you'll ride upon the high place and feed with the what? The heritage of Jacob, your father. In other words, this is the heritage. This is the inheritance of the blessing of Abraham. The heritage, that word heritage, it's the word inheritance. The heritage, everything that belongs, it refers to property. It refers to estates. It refers to possessions, all passed down to you. And the possession is the blessing and the birthright of Abraham that was handed to Isaac, Jacob, down before. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you imagine when we're in heaven sitting at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Can you imagine the inheritance that they had from Abraham in that? Can you imagine the inheritance that Jesus left you? The seed of Abraham, who took everything Abraham had and released it with the power of the Holy Spirit on it. And he is all over you right now. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. You see, this gets back down. We talked about tithing just a minute ago, right? Malachi 3:10, tithing. You know, your tithes and your offerings, it's an offering. That doesn't mean God has to receive it. And if you don't get your heart right with this stuff, all the tithing in the world isn't going to do you a bit of good. All your giving of offerings isn't going to be that is unacceptable with him.
That's right. Amen.
You need to get these things right in the blessing, in the Sermon on the Mount.
Amen.
First. And when you do, even if you don't get it all right, but your heart is right in that thing, and you're trying to work it, and you're trying to work it, you're trying to work it, the Holy Spirit, as long as you put your hand to the plow, God will guide you.
That's right.
But he can't steer a parked car. If you're stuck in your own attitudes about, he can't do that. You know, I mean, you're sitting there going, well, why don't you get in gear? Move it. Do something. Step on the gas.
That's right.
Go and I'll guide you. He said, a willing heart will I look to. And that word, incline thine heart unto my sayings, that means you're leaning in the fact that just tell me where to go, what to do, and I'll do it. That's what that means. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life and health to all your flesh. Well, we've gone 22. I hope you forgive me. Did you get anything out of this?
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise God. The law of giving and receiving.
Yes.
Give God everything and he'll give you everything.
Amen.
Give people everything that God gave you. God will give you more. He said so. He who gives to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him. You can't outgive God. The law of giving and receiving opens up a treasure trove that is endless. It opens up a treasury that you can't reach the bottom of, because there's no bottom. There's no width or breadth, and there's no limits to God. God thinks more highly of you than you do. With him, all things are possible.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that the blessing is ours to take, is ours to walk in, is ours to have and to hold and to know you in a greater way, that you've given these avenues to just really do get rid of all of that junk inside of us and start putting our hand to the plow and start loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, who hate us, who despise us. Lord, they'll get over it. We'll just walk with you. And your love will defeat all of that in them, because we will be that light and that shining example that they need. That they need. And Lord, so yeah, we will offer our other cheek. In other words, we won't come back with some pithy statement to contradict and bring out their sin even more. No, we're going to exalt you and your ability to shine your light through us and to bring that light to others. Thank you, Father. Thank you for having such a high opinion of us. Because if we believe everything that you've said about yourself, we have to believe what you've said about us. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Father, we thank you. Lord, empower this word, empower our hearts, bring it into a reality in our life, in Jesus' name. Amen.